The G-Men podcast brings you inside our community and lets you listen in on the conversations that empower men to win in life and business.
Sometimes we can't wait for people to come to us. We got to go to them. Let's go. As a man, you gotta have critical thinking in a time of crisis. Be conscious of who you are connecting. Any crisis, you got what? The brotherhood. G-Man! G-Man!
Right, I started with us talking through the fact that we're in unprecedented times, and because of these unprecedented times, we've got to sit and we've got to reflect. And I want us to move through this. So I am very, very participatory teacher. I like participation. I love feedback. I love for individuals to talk back to me. Who in here knows what this is? Is anybody familiar with this? Who knows what this is? What this is a photo of?
Looks like a band room.
A band room, 100%, 100%. Anybody else got anything else going on?
Yeah, one of my brothers said it's looks like a surgery room.
A surgery room. Okay. Devin, I see you thinking. What you got?
Yeah, I'm going either with a band room or like a college classroom.
Okay, 100%. So when I was in middle school, I wanted to play the saxophone so much. I had fell in love with the saxophone. My mom was a huge Kenny G fan, right? So, I mean, we have Kenny G just popping off through the house. I'm like, ooh, boy, this saxophone is the truth. And I remember when I had the opportunity to play in band. I said, yo, I want to play the saxophone. So now here I am, full grown man, all the 5'7", 5'8", with some Timbs on. As you can imagine, I wasn't that big when I was younger. And what I tell you, I went to the band director. I was like, yo, I want to play saxophone. And he kind of looked at me and he kind of hit me with that. In fact, he gave me the ass back position. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the ass back position, but it's essentially whenever you ask an individual to do something and they tell you to get your ass back. That's what my band director told me, right? He was like, yo, this ain't for you. This is not for you. You are not going to be playing this saxophone. You're not big enough. But the reason that I say that you are the tool and I've got this photo here is because these are risers. And what you have to understand about these risers is these risers are put in place to help individuals, depending upon where they are, to be seen. To help individuals, depending upon where they are, to move back to their place of prominence. And the reason I say that you are the tool is because as you are working with these loved ones who are going through these unexpected medical situations, you've got to become the riser. So the first letter in riser is responsibility. And you might say to yourself, well, Coy, I didn't get my loved one into the situation that they're currently in. I didn't put the food in their mouth. I didn't go to the party that they went to. I didn't drive the car. I didn't do any of that. That is all of their responsibility. Dale last week had shared such an impactful story about his mother and how when she was experiencing an an unexpected medical situation, how she had said that she was sorry. So my mother didn't tell me with her mouth that she was sorry, but she told me with her eyes that she was sorry, that now as she's starting to get older and more things are starting to come out, she's starting to realize that maybe those choices I was making before really weren't the best choices. Maybe when I said to myself that I was going to start taking better care of myself, I shouldn't. You know, that pain that I've been having for all of those months and I kept pushing away and I kept sweeping it under the rug, under the carpet. Maybe I actually should have paid more attention to it. Maybe I should have asked for help when I really needed it instead of acting as if I was strong enough to handle it all on my own. You see, responsibility is something that now that you are becoming the caregiver, I wish I could tell you that it was their responsibility. It's not. The reason why you have to become the tool is because it now becomes your responsibility. It now becomes your responsibility to take care of an individual who used to be able to take care of themselves, but now can no longer take care of themselves for whatever reason. And because you are the tool, it is now your responsibility to help that individual get back to their place of prominence, whatever that looks like for them. Now, what you might have noticed from that photo is you had different levels of risers, right? You had some individuals who were sitting on the bottom. You had some individuals on the second row, some individuals on the third and the fourth. That picture is indicative of the fact that the support that you give to each person who is experiencing what they are experiencing is different. It's going to require a different level of responsibility, a different level of assistance, a different level of thought process, a different level of acumen, compassion, empathy. But as we are moving forward, as we are men, as we are G-men, we have to take the responsibility to become that riser. So the I in this acronym is the word influence. And before I move to the next slide, I would love to understand from a couple of brothers, what do you believe influence is? What is your definition of influence? And you can just take yourself off mute.
Leadership.
Leadership. Thank you, Nick. What else?
Something or someone who shows us the way.
Shows us the way. I like that. Thank you. What else?
Leaves an impact.
Impact. I like that. What else? Influence. What is influence?
Lead by example.
Leading by example.
Yeah, I want to add to that. I want to say when you influence somebody, like you almost like create a path for them to follow. Like you influence how they move and think.
Create a path. I heard what, a flow?
Yeah, when I think of the word influence, I think of a flow.
Flow. Explain that a little bit more, actually.
Influence. The influctuation of something.
I like that.
That flow.
I like that.
Yeah, for me, influence is being able to affect change. It could be positive or negative.
Affect change, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. I love every single one of those definitions. Every single one of those definitions. The word influence defined by Merriam-Webster is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. I'm going to pause there. Because I love the last slide of this where it says, or the effect itself. Because we all have a capacity to have an effect. But are you doing the work to become the effect itself? That's a different level of influence, right? That's a different level of influence. It's one thing for me to tell someone, I need you to do X, Y, Z. It's one thing for me to show someone, I need you to do X, Y, Z. And it's another thing for me to be X, Y, Z. And as we begin to think about responsibility, we have to move ourselves into the or side of this definition. We talk about stage five all the time, being a stage five man all the time. You got a lot of brothers who have the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, and behavior of someone or something. In fact, the word influencer has become one of the most popular words of this new millennium. Everybody's an influencer now. Everybody got a blue check on Twitter. Everybody's an influencer. Everybody has the capacity to have an effect on the character. Some people don't even like the capacity of the... I don't know if y'all saw not too long ago, but Cardi B was in the news. And she was in the news because moms were mad at the music that she was putting out. But even Cardi herself said, I don't let my kids listen to the music. But the parents were mad that the kids were listening to the music. And Cardi's like, hey, listen, I make music for adults. It's not my job to parent your child. Do I have the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone or something? 100%. And every single one of us do. But where we begin to separate ourselves, where we begin to become the tool, where we begin to become the riser is we become the effect itself. So many of us are stuck in a place in a situation because we haven't seen the direct effect of what happens. We think we know what happens. We say we know what happens. But if we actually knew better, then we would do better, right? If we knew better, then we would do better. We don't know, we think. So I'm challenging every man on this call, when it comes to influence, to not just have the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone or something, but to become the effect itself. I love this slide because the S in riser is all about self-care. So I was in Houston last week having an amazing time. My sister and cousin said that they were going to take my daughter to go and get a manicure and a pedicure. As soon as I heard that, I said, oh, wait a second. You sign me up. I can definitely have somebody go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, man, massage my hands and massage these dogs. Like, that's all cool. I don't need any polish on my joint or anything like that. You want to buff them joints out, but I would love for you to rub me down. Yes, please. I'm down for it. After I got the manicure and pedicure with my sister, cousin, and daughter, the next day, I went and got an amazing massage. And they ended with a scalp massage. I don't know if y'all ever had a scalp massage. Now, I'm used to playing in a woman's hair, but it's not too often that anybody plays in my hair. You know what I'm saying? I got the low cut. Ain't nobody really playing in my hair. So I've never really had the scalp massage. Can I tell you, scalp massage was next level? Next level. I didn't know that I was going to literally be in the chair, mask on, knocked out. Like, I'm like, yo, this scalp massage is the truth. Took me to a whole new level. The image that you're seeing right here is a float tank. If you brothers are not familiar with a float tank, this, for me, one of the holy grails when it comes to meditation. It's all about sensory deprivation. It's getting in this float tank. They fill this tank up with 70, 80 gallons of water. And they put several pounds of sea salt in the water so that the buoyancy is extremely high, meaning you are literally in this tank floating no matter what your weight is, floating on water. Now, I'm not walking on water. I'm not Jesus. But when I tell you, when I lay in this thing and I float, next level. You get a chance to turn off everything. We've got so much going on and so much happening, and we keep on thinking that we've got it under control. But what we have to understand about our bodies is our bodies are holding so much stress, whether we know it or not. When I went and got my massage, the dude who was working on my back, he got to a couple of places underneath my backbone, my scapula, if you were familiar with the actual term of the bone. He got back there, and as he got back there, he started to feel so many different knots that I had no clue about. And he's literally working these things out. He spent about 15 minutes on each backbone, on each scapula, working out knots. I promise you, your body is holding things that you don't even know about. Just because it is gone from your mind doesn't mean that it is gone from your body. Your body is holding things that you don't even know about. We think about all of the systems that we have within our body, and we understand how important systems are. This world is built on systems. We know that in the morning, the sun will rise. We know that at night, the sun will set. We know that the tide will go in. We know that the tide will come out. We know that when we plant an apple seed, we will get an apple tree. We think that things are chaotic, but they're not. They're extremely ordered. We get pissed off because we don't understand the order. But we've got so many systems going on and happening in our bodies. And the moment a system is off, you start to feel the dis-ease. Disease. So you mean to tell me that I've got all of these things going on and happening in my life because I'm not paying attention to the dis-ease that's going on and happening? You got things that are popping up in your life because you're not paying attention to the dis-ease. My mother ended up having cancer in her liver because she was not focused on the dis-ease. She had chest pains, was not focused on the dis-ease. She had a shoulder pain, was not focused on the dis-ease. She was starting to get headaches, was not focused on the dis-ease. And next thing you know, she's got a disease that's trying to take her out. And I've got a question for you. Are you willing to put in the self-care that you need to assist other individuals? Because there's no way that you can provide something that you don't have. The reason they tell you to put your mask on first on the plane is so that you can be alive to help other individuals. Stop trying to be Superman, brother. I had a conversation with my therapist a little bit earlier. And I was telling her that my sister's going to be leaving on the 11th. My sister's down from California. Got a one-year-old daughter, my one-year-old niece. And it's been amazing having her close. It's been amazing having her to assist. And on the 11th, she'll no longer be here. She's going to head back to California. She's been here for almost 2 months. She had asked me, "Hey, Coy, are you going to be good with mom?" Sure enough, my answer, come on, it's going to get done because it's got to get done. It's going to get done because it's got to get done. But are we really thinking about what it requires to get done. I'm so happy that I had that call with my therapist, which brings me to the next letter in our acronym for RISER, that emotional stability. Because sadly, not only we as men, but more specifically, we as Black men, we feel like, I ain't about talking to nobody about my problems. You know what? If I got a problem, I'm going to talk to the Lord. That's all I need. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord has already provided what you need. And with that, someone has your stuff. I'm going to say that one more time. Someone has your stuff. If you keep on thinking that God is now whipping up some stuff for you because you just prayed about it, then you're missing it. Someone has your stuff. It's already here. But you gotta get out of this thought process of, I don't need any help. You gotta get out of this thought process of, I'm Superman. You gotta get out of this thought process of, I can handle it all. Because emotional stability is paramount. You've got to be in the right mental state. Check out counseling. Get some therapy. If you've got a 9-to-5 with insurance, check out your EAP. Because you have free sessions every single year that you can take advantage of. Again, we're talking about the systems here within our body. I didn't know I had all those knots, just like I didn't know that all those things going on and happening in my head. And had I had not gotten on that call to talk with my therapist, I never would have known that I could actually apply for some home health care to help my mom out. I never would have known that, hey, you know, from an FMLA perspective, you can actually take some time off so that you aren't as stressed out on your job to be able to help your mom. I actually even got a third thing because we have unlimited PTO at work. And I was like, well, you know, I was thinking about maybe taking a week off or like 2 weeks off. But after that, like, I mean, you know, like that's pretty much it. They start to kind of frown on you taking so much time off. And it was, well, instead of taking off 80 hours in 2 weeks, why not take off 80 hours in 3 months? Why not have an abridged schedule to where you're only working 5 hours a day or 6 hours a day? How much more would that enable you to not only help your mom, but give you the mental space back that you need? When I tell you, these are things that I never would have thought of on my own. But because I reached out and I got some help, I'm creating that emotional stability to prepare myself for what's next. The last letter in RISER. Are receipts, right? Receipts. Men, you are the receipt. I remember Dale shared last week that you are your greatest asset. When you said that, I said, ooh, I'm taking that. Let me create some content around that. You are your greatest asset. And as I was thinking about this presentation, I said to myself, when it comes to being a riser, you have to be the receiver. I don't know what it is about our community where we have to see the receipts. If someone's coming in and they're talking to me about financial literacy and they have a credit score of 425, they got a credit score of 326, they got a credit score, I'm like, wait, hold on a minute, what? If I got somebody coming here to talk about wealth and they ain't never touched up, you ain't never had a back. Hold on a second. What you driving again? Hold on a second. Where do you live? We are constantly looking for the receipts. So my 11-year-old daughter, She and I, we go back and forth on tours. We don't go back and forth too long. But when we started, we went back and forth on tours. She was like, I don't understand why. Why I have to do chores, Dad? He said, babe, listen, you know that at some point in time, you're not going to be living here, right? You're like, what do you mean? Yeah, no. At some point in time, you're not going to be living. At some point in time, you will be on your own. And more importantly, at some point in time, I will no longer be here. So it is incumbent upon me to show you what you need to do. It's the receipts. It's the receipts. Last night, I'm visiting my mom in the hospital. And I brought in some food for her because, you know, the hospital food just, it's just not what she into. You know what I mean? I'm saying she's Jamaican, you know, my whole family's Jamaican. I'm Jamaican. Like, you know, I'm saying we used to a little spice, a little seasoning, a little something. You know, she's like, you know, this cafeteria food, that's not, it's not what it is, boy. I was like, all right, mom, no stress. I'll make you some food. I'll bring some food up there too. So she ate, and as I was leaving, she said, hey, would you mind giving them a call and ordering some dinner? And I was like, sure. I was like, what do you want? She was like, just want something small. You know, I don't even really want too much to eat. I think I might just get maybe like one of their like personal pan pizzas, whatever. Okay. So I call in the personal pan pizza. And as I call in the personal pan pizza, I tell them what it is that she wants on the pizza. Is that mushrooms, bell peppers, and cheese. That's it. Simple. They end up bringing up pizza. She opens up the pizza. And before she takes a bite out of the pizza, she starts to inspect the pizza a little bit more. She saw some pepperonis on the pizza. She was like, man, I didn't order pepperonis on here. So what was the first thing that I went to do before I called them back? I took a look at the receipt. And when I took a look at the receipt, I saw, y'all rung this up right. Y'all just messed it up in the back. How are you showing up for your family? I don't remember who had said it with regard to influence, but it was leading by example. Remember, whenever we look at that definition of influence, I'm challenging each and every one of us to not just have the capacity to affect behavior, to affect character on something or someone, but to become the effect itself. I wish we could say that we do what we're told, but we do what we're shown. We see it all the time in children. And I'm sure you're saying, well, yeah, Corey, those are kids. Cool. Well, let's move to adulthood. Who in here has ever had a manager that's always late? And then that manager has the audacity to get on to you whenever you're late. But what do you say? I am following your direction. This is what I see. We have to be the receipt. That's the only way that we will become the effect itself. So I'll end with this, and I'll open up for questions if we've got that time, B. But as we are moving into this season, we know that we are all in one of three places. Currently in a storm, just getting out of one, or about to be in one. And how are you preparing yourself to become the riser? How are you up-leveling your responsibility? How from an influence perspective, are you not just saying that I have the capacity? You are saying I am the affected self. What type of self-care do you have? How are you treating yourself? How do you ensure that you can continue to stay moving at that pace and that level? Who are you talking to from an emotional perspective? Because when your emotions get out of the way, we got these inner storms that go when they happen. How are you anchoring yourself so that you can ensure that although the winds are moving around you, although things are moving to and fro, you still have an opportunity to stand still? And last but not least, what are you doing to become a receiver? Because they're watching. We are watching. What are you doing to become a receiver?
Man, this call was so challenging for me. Me personally, my daddy is acting up. He's in that health window. And look, I ain't the guy. Look, I ain't got no kids. I don't do soft. My brain don't even think soft. All I want is to hear. All I want to hear is results. But what you said, Koi, about becoming the receipt and becoming the effect itself, ooh, it challenged me. Cause see, I can fast, but I can't make you fast. You see what I'm saying? I can make a new decision, but I can't make you make that new decision. And while I was letting myself off the hook, what you said, very effectively, was influence. And when I looked up influence, as you were sharing, it said getting people to do what you want them to do when you're not in a position of command. Getting people to do, I live in Seattle, my daddy lives in Virginia. Getting people to do what you want. Bray, if you're in my house, I can just bully you. Let me just tell you the truth. My wife don't want to fast. I throw away all the food. She's still not eating. How do you want to do this? You know what I'm saying? But if my daddy don't want to fast, though, how do I get him to do what I want him to do when I am not in a position of command? And while I was struggling with that internally, I think you gave me the ingredients. You said become a riser. And what was powerful in my notes I wrote down is because the importance of being a riser is to help them get back to their place of prominence. And because I had forgotten that's what it's about, I was going about this totally the wrong way. But now that I know it's about assisting those we love to get back to their place of prominence, and it's easy for me to run the plays. And immediately I dialed in on where I can do better for myself so I can impact those I love is my self-care. Because as you were talking about the stress your body maintains, regardless if your head has moved on or not, I thought about our scars. Because scars is living proof that your body has maintained a record of what happened. Even though, bro, I got some scars on my body I got when I was 5. And my head has moved on. My heart has moved on. But my body, though, my body is like, we are all witnesses. And without enough self-care, when it's time to care for others, here's a secret. You can only love others to the capacity that you love yourself. And one of the problems we're suffering is people love us like they love themselves. And since they're doing no self-care, they treat us like they're doing no self-care. Since they're not getting enough sleep, they treat us like they're not getting enough sleep. So I love you for sharing this, Koi, because now that I can make getting my daddy back to his place of prominence the goal, then the steps to be a riser for his life become seamless to my life, because I was just gonna use my bully tactics. Let me not lie. I was gonna make him sign a power of attorney. Bro, I ain't playing. Look, I ain't got time for you not to listen to me. You know what I'm saying? But I was going about it for the wrong outcome, when the outcome is to get him back to a place of prominence. And now that I know that that is the goal, then the steps is easy. And anytime I have personal struggles, it's always going to be at the self-care level or the emotional stability level. I was sharing with one of my brothers that something upset me. I mean, next level upset me. But I live by one mantra. My book of faith says it. Be angry and sin not. So, bro, I don't hold in the Hulk. You know what I'm saying? I go ahead and go green. I just say, don't punch nothing or nobody. You know what I'm saying? Just go do some push-ups, get the energy up my system, and then ask myself, what should I be doing? Not what do I want to do? So spot on with this, Koi. Let me ask this specifically. You talked about, you know, having your sister around and that question between you and your sister, and then leaning on your therapist for that emotional stability. That's who you are today. Who were you before today? How would you have handled that in the past? I would love to know that.
Frankly, I would have handled that in the past by not knowing how to swim and jumping in the middle of the ocean. Straight up. That's how I would have handled that in the past. Not knowing how to swim and jumping in the middle of the ocean. There was a spot in Dallas called Hurricane Harbor. It's part of Six Flags. May or may not still be there or not. I don't know. Because this was like years ago. I was a kid. And if you're unfamiliar with Six Flags, big amusement park or whatever you can think of, kind of like a regional Disneyland, if you will, for like places in Texas and some other places. But this was a large water park. They have this huge wave pool, right? And I mean, like, wave pool was dope. And it was like you'd hear the alarm go off. When the alarm goes off, and like waves would just start to just come. You'd be like, oh man, and you just in the wave pool and you having a good time if you got that flotation device. Right? You having a good time in the wave pool with the flotation device. So me and my friend, we are racing my sister and her friend to the next slide that we wanted to get on. It was called the Black Hole. This is one of the highest water park slides that they had, and the entire ride was in pitch darkness. So you never knew when a curve was coming. You never knew when a dip was coming or anything like that. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. So we're running to get to the Black Hole, and sure enough, of course, we're beating them. Right? We're running a whole lot faster than them. And what is standing between us and the black hole is the wave pool. Now, we could lose time by going around the wave pool, or the quickest way to get to any point is a straight line. We said, hey, this ain't no big deal. It's not a problem. And the wave pool, sure enough, was roped off on the outside so that you would not walk into the wave pool. So we see the rope. We say, we're young. We say, we got this. We say, we got hops. That's no big deal. We literally hop over the rope, dive into the wave pool. As we are swimming across, all of a sudden you hear, you got wave after wave after wave. When I tell you, we felt like we could swim. I don't know how we survived. We ended up getting washed up all the way on the shallow end. And I remember being chastised by the man who was the lifeguard because he was even watching like, I don't even know if I can save you because you jumped in too deep. Head first. And that's how I would have handled it. The same way that I did as a child. And there are areas in our lives that from a maturity perspective, because we aren't tapped in, because we don't have that emotional stability, because we aren't taking a self-inventory, we're still living as children in those areas. But I'm happy now that I have the wherewithal to say, I need help. Because now that I said I need help, now I can start to put together a plan as opposed to simply jumping in the deep end. But that's what I would have done, B. I would have jumped straight in the deep end of the ocean. and been wondering why I'm breathing hard, I'm heavy laden, my body is struggling, my relationships are struggling, work life is struggling. That's what I would have done.
Come on, man. Guys, as we prepare to close, and I'll turn it back over to Coy to close the call. Here's where I'm challenging you. Again, not a football fan. I don't own no teams. When I own a team, I'll be the biggest fan in the world. But I saw something. Someone asked during the football game yesterday, they said, why do people prefer the underdog? I was like, because they like to lie about what greatness really takes. So if you're always seeing a legend be replaced, then you never have to become one yourself. You never have to be somebody's riser. You never have to be the foundation that somebody else stands on to accomplish their goals, their vision, and their dream. Because we're selfish and self-centered, and we refuse to be risers to others. What does becoming a legend look like to those you love and those you lead? A financial legend, a leadership legend, someone who is empathetic, who can love beyond your own natural borders, someone who can close and bridge the gap in communities. What does that look like? So we like to say, oh, I like the underdog to win, when the truth is we need more examples of legends. Because here's the truth. While the underdog story is attention grabbing, it's legends who change the world. Coy, take us out of here.
The way that I'll end this is simple. If you're tired of being affected, you gotta become the effect. Because so many things are going on and happening in your life that are affecting you, and they're only affecting you because you are not the effect.
You have been listening to the G-Men podcast. Like, review, and share this episode if something you heard challenged you to grow and positioned you to lead. The G-Men community exists to allow men to connect through group coaching, training calls, online workshops, and location-based retreats. Join the movement at gmenworldwide.com.